Hi, my name is Jack Shannon, and welcome to St. Athanasius Reformed Catholic Podcast. And today we're going to be talking about what it is to be a Reformed Catholic. So the name of our church is St. Athanasius Reformed Catholic Church, and I chose that name out of a love for St. Athanasius, which isn't really part of what we're talking about today. But real quickly, St. Athanasius stood for the full deity of Christ when most of the world had fallen into Arianism. And he famously replied to an accusation that the whole world was against him, that the whole world didn't believe what he believed. Famously replied, Athanasius contra mundum, or it's Athanasius against the world. And our church, very small church, is standing against the world, standing against the Christian world, with regards to divorce and remarriage. Most of the Christian world does not believe that divorce and remarriage is a sin. Or they say it's a lamentable sin that we are going to allow to occur because God is gracious, and apparently God's grace lets people continue in sin, right? We are standing against the world. It is us against the world in these days. So that's the St. Athanasius part. The Reformed Catholic part, that's the part that trips people up. And understandably so, because we usually associate Catholic with Roman Catholic. And we are definitely not Roman Catholic. Although we appreciate the truths that are in Roman Catholicism in that denomination. We consider them our brothers. We consider them Christians. Unlike other Protestants, we don't believe that they're preaching a false gospel or that they're not really Christians or anything like this. The way that I would describe Reformed Catholicism succinctly, a Reformed Catholic is a Protestant who hasn't lost his mind. So I think the charismatic realm, or even some evangelicals, have this sense of the Catholic Church, the universal church. So Catholic just means universal, or the fullness of the church. And what I mean by that is basically what Lewis means by his mere Christianity, that we are all together in this, in the common bond of confessing Jesus as Lord and living for him, and despite differences in sacraments or doctrine or, you know, things like this. There are other Protestants who are just foaming at the mouth, rabid in their tribalism and their denominationalism. You see it quite a bit with Reformed and Anabaptist types. I mean, Anabaptists just get nutty when it comes to like who's evil and who's not. And there are Reformed folks who are like this too. They're basically Mormon in their outlook, that the early church fathers can't be trusted, that the church fell into apostasy basically after the apostles died, and that the Middle Ages were ruled by the Antichrist. And there's Reformed confessions talk about this. Reformed confessions, like the Westminster Confession, I believe, says that the Pope is the Antichrist. So even most Presbyterians now would take exception to that. They would say, well, the Pope's not necessarily the Antichrist. But there's still people out there who do think that. So Reformed Catholic is decidedly Protestant. And even William Perkins, who was a Puritan in England, he wrote a book called The Reformed Catholic. And it's the Reformed Catholic faith. Against the Protestant faith, or against the Roman Catholic faith. So that's the first thing. We're definitely Protestant, but we're not afraid of valuable things that the Roman Catholic Church has to offer, and we're irenic or peaceful or ecumenical in the sense that we acknowledge them as brothers, even if they do have error in certain ways. Even what I'm wearing, this the collar was started by a Presbyterian, and the dog collar, the white one that goes all the way around, was an Anglican thing. And Roman Catholic priests in America didn't start wearing this until I think the mid-20th century. So it's strange. It's a recent thing that this is associated with Roman Catholic priests, because Protestants are the ones who were wearing these before. Now, Roman Catholics were, the priests would wear black in public since it was a cheaper fabric and they lived more of a life of poverty. So I'm not denying that, but this is certainly, it's, I have to tell people, sometimes I'll have students come up to me on campus and they'll want to confess because they're Roman Catholic, and I'll be like, this is not a Roman collar. So then they don't confess because their confession to me doesn't count, because the Roman Catholic Church is this sacramental vending machine, I guess, you know. And, you know, we as Protestants, I think, have rightly identified that as being being a bit much. So Reformed Catholic is definitely Protestant. That's the first thing. The other thing, the other reason, I was reading The End of Protestantism at the time, Peter Lightheart's book, and I thought it was excellent. And it may not be, his vision, I appreciate the faith that it takes for him to desire a unified church and to kind of bring the church into a unified structure and even doctrinal unity. And it seems like an impossible thing. And perhaps it is. Maybe it is. Maybe we'll always have denominations with us. And even as a chapter called In Defense of Denominationalism, where there is a strength in having organizations who are part of the church, but they identify as, you know, we believe in credo baptism, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, we believe in infant baptism, we believe in, you know, all these various things. We're Episcopal, we're independent. So you know what you're getting into. And maybe that will never go away. And if that's the case, then that's fine. Then maybe Reformed Catholic is just going to be another denomination within that whole milieu. But I was really thinking about how to identify the church, and I'm still not totally set on it. We might just call ourselves St. Athanasius Church. But I liked Reformed Catholicism in The End of Protestantism because Peter Lightheart is not afraid of affirming the strengths of every tradition, of every denomination, and also acknowledging the weaknesses in denominations. Acknowledging, so say among Calvinists, not among Federal Vision. I love the Federal Vision guys, or maybe more classically oriented guys, but the truly Reformed, and where they may not acknowledge apostasy as readily, or they may not acknowledge the function of the will in the life of the Christian as readily as, say, the Reformers at the time, the Reformers in the 16th century did, or as like Federal Vision guys would. So that's another reason. I wanted something that kind of reflected where we stood, and me in particular, since I'm kind of the one spearheading a lot of these things. That would be one aspect. And so I want to spend the rest of the video kind of talking about various traditions that have formed my own understanding and why, I guess, where I've landed on being called a Reformed Catholic. So the first one, I was raised Pentecostal, raised charismatic, with, I suppose, a kind of crypto-Baptist assumptions and dispensational assumptions with eschatology. But then in practice, it was very post-millennial, highly evangelistic, highly triumphant in the way that they viewed our presence as Christians in the world. As a Pentecostal, I affirm, and I still affirm, the gifts of the Spirit. I still affirm, I pray in tongues all the time. I pay attention to dreams that I have. I pay attention to the intuitive, emotional things that go on in prayer and in life. And, you know, signs, whatever they may be, as weird as they may be. That is a strength of the charismatic Pentecostal world that I want to retain. But the weaknesses, that a lot of the Pentecostal charismatic world tends to be not as, they don't want to articulate precision in doctrine, they don't really care about history as much, and the worship is contemporary, which I really have, this is just a personal preference, but I really dislike contemporary worship, mainly because I don't like light rock, really. That really is what it comes down to. I like rock, but... If I want to go to a rock concert, I'll go to a rock concert. I'm not going to go to church. When I go to church, I want it to actually feel like church. So those are some of the strengths and weaknesses that I've wanted to incorporate in the culture that we're building at St. Athanasius. I was trained in a Reformed seminary, and what I absolutely love about the Reformed Presbyterian world is their covenantal theology. Absolutely love it. It was very helpful to me in understanding the Bible and understanding the Bible as a cohesive whole. And I see among Reformed Presbyterians a love for the Bible, a love for the Word and its supremacy over all of life. And I also love, particularly where I was at, I love the post-millennial bent. I love the idea of the gospel overtaking the world, of Christians being present and redeeming the arts, redeeming culture, redeeming politics, this Kuiperian sphere sovereignty of Christ over all of the earth, where Abraham Kuyper said that there's not one square inch of the universe which Christ doesn't declare mine. And I loved the covenantal apologetics, the presuppositionalism of Greg Bahnsen. Greg Bahnsen was my introduction into the Reformed world. Absolutely loved it. Now, some of the things that are usually identified with Reformed or Calvinistic are soteriology, how we are saved, and predestination, right? These are what most Calvinists or Reformed people always talk about. Tulip, right? Those things, to me, I just don't care about as much. They're fine. I believe them, but I hold them very loosely because they've been so... They're almost always never understood correctly. And there are people who do understand them correctly, and I appreciate those people, and they are thoughtful. I think Leighton Flowers, I think he understands. He understands these doctrines, and he's done a good evaluation of them and said, "Yeah, I reject that." But pretty much every bashing of Calvinists that I've seen, particularly from Anabaptists, is not what Calvinists believe. And maybe there are Calvinists out there that believe that, but it's not what I've seen. And it's not what historically has been taught. For example, once saved, always saved. Well, what does that mean? And I think what they're pushing against is, it's like maybe once saved, always saved as it exists in like Baptist and charismatic circles that has like cut itself off from the rest of Calvinism. I don't know. And then the Reformed Presbyterian world tends to be highly cerebral, and so they're scared of the Pentecostal gifts. And because they're cerebral, they can be smug and condescending. But I've also met very humble and very intelligent, very humble men. My Hebrew professor in seminary was a very humble and gracious man, but he was tough too. I think Doug Wilson is very humble, very, very gracious. Peter Lighthart. So both exist. But then on the ground, I think you have guys who are very, they can be kind of arrogant and smug. And a lot of them come from Pentecostal or evangelical backgrounds, and I think they're probably just they've had bad experiences and they're reacting against that. It's understandable. Evangelical, that's... our website says Reformational, Evangelical, and Pentecostal. So evangelicalism, particularly if you trace it back to Wesley, really emphasizes the experiential aspect and the saving aspect of our relationship with Christ, and that kind of intimate aspect over and above doctrinal precision and confessional precision and all of those things. So there's a strength there because people can get sucked into this liturgical or confessional precision at the expense of having an experiential relationship with God, that God actually works in the world and that whole aspect. I suppose that does have some kind of overlap with the Pentecostal charismatic realm, but I think keeping the core of the gospel, evangelicalism has done a good job of preserving that. But the weakness of that is that they've just done away with everything else. It's just they preach how to get saved every Sunday. And, well, church is not supposed to be an evangelistic endeavor. Church, when the saints come together, it should be to feed the sheep. It should be to feed God's people. So I suppose in a sense, we're constantly being converted, we're being sanctified, So those would be weaknesses that I would reject from the evangelical realm. Lutheranism, I really appreciate a lot of Lutheranism. I probably in another dimension could be a Lutheran. There are rejections of certain Calvinist doctrines I don't really have a problem with. Their understanding of ubiquity with Jesus' body, and I mean the Augsburg Confession I think is awesome. So there's things in Lutheranism that I really love. But I guess the things that I don't really care too much for would be Luther's radical partition of law and gospel. That's one of the things I love about the Reformed world more, is they were more favorable towards the law. Anglicanism. I probably would be an Anglican. I was actually thinking of getting ordained in an Anglican church, but I actually feel like God told me not to. But as far as theology goes, Anglicanism being the via media, the middle way, sometimes it's confused as being the middle way between Protestantism and Roman Catholicism. That's not really what it is. It's a middle way between Geneva and Wittenberg, between Calvinism and Lutheranism. And that's about where I would be. I really appreciate the works of Richard Hooker. I appreciate the English tradition, and it tends to not be as fanatic as other Calvinists, but yet it appreciates the strengths of Calvinism, appreciates some strengths of Lutheranism. It retained the kind of ancient faith of the church, even in its external forms. Keeping the vestments, keeping the liturgy, I appreciate that a lot. If I were to actually become any particular denomination, it would be Anglican. But I am not, because the Anglican Church now teaches that it's okay to get divorced and remarried. And I mean, I'm not talking about the Church of England. I'm talking about there's tons of different Anglican denominations. And even among the conservative ones, they allow people to get divorced and remarried when that wasn't the case in the past. So I'm basically a theological mutt, and I don't have a home, although I would really like one. There is a Presbyterian denomination that does teach roughly what I believe the Bible teaches on divorce and remarriage. It's called the Protestant Reformed Church, or sometimes the Protestant Reformed Church in America. And I think that they're really great, but they're also insufferable in some ways. They are kind of the most radical, obnoxious Calvinists that you could possibly encounter. And they think almost everything that I believe is heresy. So they think that my postmillennialism is heresy, my federal vision bent is heresy, Christian Reconstruction, all of that stuff. Which, you know, that's fine. They reject the term common grace, and it's really a semantic issue. They just want to call it divine providence, because the heathen or the unregenerate can never experience God's grace. So they're actually right in these things, but they are very... they're just very dogmatic about them. They believe that they believe that if you don't believe these things, it opens up the door to universalism and all this stuff. So I just haven't been able to find a home, and so me and my family have decided to start St. Athanasius here in Fort Collins, decided to call ourselves Reformed Catholics, which may be a problematic term that we'll do away with at some point, but... that is Reformed Catholicism. So if you have any other questions or anything about that, feel free to contact me. Hopefully that was helpful, and I'll see you next week. Bye.